you, God, so much. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. God, you are so wonderful. Such a sweet, sweet spirit of our Lord in this place today. Praise God. Brother Putnam has preached in this pulpit 3 times this year already. That's almost as much as I have preached in this pulpit. We really do appreciate Brother Putnam, our district superintendent. I found out he was going to be in service with us. I have had a very nagging, bad sciatic nerve problem this week. And whenever I stand up very long, the pain gets very excruciating. And I found out he was going to be in service with us, and I thought, this has to be a God thing. Brother Putnam, you bless us every time you come. He is our district superintendent. Let's give him a warm welcome. God bless Brother Putnam.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. It's beginning to be quite habit-forming here. That's a good thing. Amen. I'm very thankful that I brought my girlfriend with me today. And I brought my mother to chaperone us. So, amen. We're glad to be here. We've just come back from our district conference this last week. What a mighty move of God that we had amongst the ministry of our whole district that was in attendance. And I'll tell you, folks, I leave me completely out of it, but I am so thankful to be a part of this great district and this great kingdom of God, amen, that we find here in Wisconsin. Praise the Lord. I would congratulate Brother Phil Demas. He was reelected as our youth secretary of our district. God bless him. Amen. And Brother Grant, thank you again. I certainly hope that this sciatic thing just gets all straightened out. Amen. If you've got your Bibles today, I'd like, or look at the overhead, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 52. Now, Lord, let that just come right on down. Well, not that part of it, but the spiritual application of that. Matter of fact, why don't you just raise your hands right now and accept his reign. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, thank you, Lord, for the reign of the Holy Ghost. Lord, halabasaha yabaki. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to read with me, if you would. Let's read it with gusto. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And we shall be changed. Does anybody want to be changed on that day? From the mortal to the immortal. Amen. We shall be changed. I want you to turn to your neighbor, shake their hand. Amen. Look him in the eye and just say, it's going to happen just like it says. It's going to happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to happen just like it says. That's right. You may be seated. I don't know of the day or the hour. I don't know if it will be summer or winter, whether it will take place in the morning or at noon. But what I do know is our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. For the Lord himself, Thessalonians tells us, shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And everybody said, amen. And that means so be it. I don't think there's any need to belabor, but our whole world seems to be in turmoil right now. Nuclear meltdown in Japan. The entire Middle East is in an uproar. The world's economy is on the brink of collapse, coupled with our own political strife, the moral downfall of the Western society, the reenactment of Sodom and Gomorrah of old spreading all over, the weird weather patterns that we've been having, wars and rumors of the same. What's happening? I believe the Lord is beckoning the attention of mankind. I believe he is making every effort in sounding the alarm. The Lord is coming again. Somebody ought to shout about that. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, he said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then don't look down, don't be disgruntled, don't be fearful, but he said, look up. Everybody say, look up and lift up your hearts, for your redemption draweth nigh. Mark 13 and 26 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with the great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Jesus is coming again, and there's going to be a change. Jesus said, in Mark 13 and 18, speaking about the conquering of Jerusalem, he said, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Now that word flight in Greek is phoge. It means a fleeing, that is escape, a flight. I'm telling you, church, around this globe, we need to be ready for the escape. It is our flight, if you please. Now, I've flown numerous times. I probably fly about 20 or 30 times a year. I've had the privilege of flying over the Atlantic and the Pacific several times, and many flights in between. And on every flight that I have flown on, the procedure is about the same. The last turn on the taxiway to get in line on the runway, the captain's voice comes over the loudspeaker and says, flight attendants, prepare for departure. Now, I've heard many a pilot say those words. But on a flight some years ago, that pilot's voice was as if it was the voice of God to me. And those words spoke directly to my spirit. And God placed this thought in my heart. And that's why I believe I'm to share with you this morning, flight attendants, prepare for departure. Everybody say it with me. Flight attendants, prepare for departure. Once again, the scriptures are emphatic. The word is clear. Jesus is coming back. His return is just as sure as you and I are in this sanctuary right now. just as sure as you are hearing the sound of my voice. His coming is as sure as the rising and the setting of the sun. I believe the second coming of our Lord is nigh at hand. And when he does come, there's going to be a dramatic event known as the catching away, or in layman's terms, the rapture. Everybody rapture ready here today. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Everybody say caught up. Say it again, caught up. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are not depressing words. That's why we're here, my friend. That's what we've been getting ready for. We're getting ready for heaven. Is there anybody here that's getting ready for heaven? So what I'm about to preach today is very simple, so that the youngest in the faith can understand. Brothers and sisters, we're getting ready to depart. We are getting prepared to take our flight. We are getting ready for the Lord's beckoning. Thus I say, flight attendants, prepare for departure. That word attendant simply means one who attends or waits on another. It has the same connotation as the term servant, one who serves another. The Lord is very straightforward about our spiritual position in the end time world. Church, you and I are to be the servants, everybody say servants, say it like you mean it, of the Lord. Psalm 135 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Anybody know that he's good here today? Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. The apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, everybody say obeyed, from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants, everybody say servants, of righteousness. Speaking to the Corinthians, Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. God is wanting you and I to be an attendant, to be a servant to this world in getting them on board the most important flight that is ever going to take place in all of eternity. Much like the flight attendant on any given airline, we too are in a very strategic position of not only getting ourselves to our desired eternal destination, but we are to attend to others to help them arrive at their anticipated eternal destination as well. So, what do flight attendants do to prepare for departure? First of all, if you've done any flying, before anybody gets on the aircraft, they must make sure that they're on the correct flight. My wife was flying one time back to Akron, Ohio from Indianapolis, and she got on the plane, and the man next to her says, this is going to be a great flight to Buffalo. Just last week, I was flying to Houston, or to Dallas, Texas, and the flight attendant says, and we'll be landing in Houston soon. And everybody went, ooh. I thought, sure, we were on the flight to Dallas. Well, I want you to understand something this morning. Not every flight that leaves Chicago O'Hara Airport goes to every city in the world. Not every airline frequents every city. So you have to know where you want to go. And you have to know that the airline that you're planning on boarding goes to that desired place. Are you getting my point here? Now, you may have your favorite airline of travel, but if it doesn't go where you need to go, it would be foolish to occupy a seat and never end up where you wanted to go. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, just because a group has a sign in their yard that says Christian does not automatically mean that they are heaven bound. Just like airlines or air charters, you can find any name out there you want to find. I one time was on a Sunday afternoon. I saw a plane land in Fargo, North Dakota, and the name on the plane was Casino Air. And I thought, that is not the plane I want to be on. With a picture of a joker on its tail fin. I've heard people over the years say, well, I have my own religion. Well, folks, you may have your favorite, and mom and grandma and great granny may have been of the same persuasion. But if that favorite doesn't have the flight instructions to the holy city, the New Jerusalem, then you better check it out and you better find out which one has the right flight pattern to heaven. Oh, somebody ought to clap their hands to the Lord. Personally, by God's grace, I'm choosing to fly Rapture Air. And it's owned and operated by Jesus Christ and his subsidiary, the Pentecostal Power Associates. Have you ever determined that you've got the right airlines? Amen. Then you better make sure that you have the proper ticket. You have to be booked on that flight. Your name has to be on the passenger list. And God calls his passenger list the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Does anybody have a new name on their life today? Hallelujah. Funny thing about this particular list of passengers, everyone on the flight manifest has the same name. Anybody understand what it is? Jesus. Huh? Jesus. What is it? Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, everybody say, must be saved. I'm telling you, amen. Islam can't do it. Amen. Muhammad can't do it. Hare Krishna can't do it. And all of the 4,000 of the Hindu gods can't do it. But I'll tell you, there is a name given among men whereby we must be saved. Know ye not, Romans 6:3 says, so that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all, everybody say all, one in Christ Jesus. No wonder we need to be water baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. And also to get on board this holy ride, we need to have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have to have Christ in us. How important it is to have that Holy Spirit within you. Matter of fact, Paul told the Romans in Romans 8:9, he said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I didn't say it, my friend. I didn't write it. Paul said that. We need to have this promise given to us by God, for the gift that he is giving is himself. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What a promise! The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The flight attendants then make sure that you get in the right designated assigned seat. The flight attendants, you know, not all positions on this flight are the same. Hello. You know, when you get on a flight, some have window seats, others have aisles. Some sit in the middle seats. I'll never forget the story about Brother Billy Cole and Jack Cunningham. They were going to Asia someplace, and there was just three rows in that seat. One was by the window, one was by the aisle, and they thought that the middle seat was empty. And here come this little Asian lady. And she sat down in the middle of those two, and she disappeared. And you have to know where you're supposed to be in the church. Some of you are preachers in the making. Some of you are Bible teachers. Some of you are great prayer warriors. Some of you are tremendous, generous givers. But all of us, everybody say all of us, are to be effective witnesses. Did you ever notice that these flight attendants try their best to be very kind and helpful? 2 Timothy 2 and 24 says, and the servant of the Lord, anybody, are you a servant of the Lord in here? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You know, it's always amazing to me on flights. It can be a very, very small lady. You may be able to overtower the lady, that attendant, or it can be a gentleman, but, you know, I've seen some very short flight attendants. And, you know, they come down the aisle, and they go, straighten up your chair, sir. You need to buckle your seatbelt. You need to have your tray table against the seat in front of you. Am I telling you the truth? And you know what? What's amazing is we see these people going, yes, ma'am. They're obedient. Everybody say obedient. And you know, and if you see anybody on a plane that's just a real jerk, but I'm not going to do it. Well, you know what? They can make enough scuff that guess what? Before that plane even starts its engines, they're off the plane. And they don't have one thing to say about it. Huh? You know what? Pastors are given for a purpose. They're not just given to be, you know, the great overseer of the church, but his responsibility, my responsibility, and every minister's responsibility is number one, to preach the word. Did you hear me? To preach the word. to preach the principles of Christ, to preach indeed the commandments of the Lord. And my friend, sometimes I've been a pastor. I know sometimes that rustles people in the wrong way. They get a little bit ruffled. Well, who are you to say what I need to do? Oh, I tell you, on this flight, if you want to go to heaven and everybody wants to go to heaven, then you better be obedient. Somebody ought to clap their hands to the Lord. We're trying to get people prepared, preparing for departure. I was on one flight. It was in the wintertime. It was snowing. I had to fly to Pittsburgh to San Francisco. And I was in the Pittsburgh airport, had to fly from Cleveland, go east to go west. And got to Pittsburgh, snowing outside like mad. And here's this guy in the terminal with shorts on and no shirt. And I'm not kidding you, folks. I think I've said this before, but it just seems like all the dingbats get on the flight I'm on. And I saw him wandering around there in the terminal, and I thought, yeah, you watch. Sure enough, he'll be on that plane. I saw when he went up to the door, the flight attendant, the attendant there at the door before you could board, said, sir, you're going to have to put a shirt on. He said, well, who says? Let me see the rule book. I mean, he was being belligerent. She just got very firm with him, and she said, sir, if you want to get on board this flight, then you're going to have a shirt on. There was no ifs and buts about it. I'm always amazed at Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus talked about a man about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and many of his own disciples did not understand that. And the Bible says that many of them walked away because they just didn't understand the spiritual nature of what Jesus was saying. But and Jesus even looked at his own disciples and says, will you go also? And Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words to eternal life. Folks, I'm telling you, the Word of God has the words to eternal life. And you ought to thank God every day. You got a pastor that's going to preach what saith the Word of the Lord. Church, this flight is too important for any of us to miss. Don't be belligerent. Don't get arrogant with God. But let your flight attendant help make your passing from this life to the next a pleasant one. 1 Peter 1 and 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, which is translated lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. You see, all attendants have been trained. They have studied their flight regulations and their manuals. You know, you can get on that plane, and the very first thing that they do before you get going is they start giving you a safety. They tell you how to click your seatbelt. Well, my Lord, I've been on enough flights. I know that by now. And then they tell you about if something happens in the air pressure inside the cabin that's pressurized, that these things are going to drop down. I remember I was on one Southwest flight, and she was demonstrating this, and she says, now, if these things drop down, she said, after you quit screaming. She said, you need to put it over your face, because that's how you're going to live. Now, we laugh at that, but that just happened day before yesterday. Southwest airline flight. The roof, part of the roof came off of the plane at 36,000 feet. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to go through some trials and tests, and some planks, amen, may let in some atmosphere that we're not used to and we can't truly breathe in. We need all the Holy Ghost spiritual oxygen that we can get. That's why you need to keep yourself faithful to the house of God. That's why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto the Lord. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a reason why they say what they say. You're always hoping that you never have to use those things. Huh? We were coming across the Atlantic one time. I mean, we had so much turbulence. I mean, the plane was shaking. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. John David, my son, was about 5 years old at that time. He was sitting next to me, and he says very, very loudly, "Dad, are we going to crash?" Well, you know, the word crash on an airplane flight is a cuss word. Matter of fact, all around us, I could hear some people going, And then he turned over to me and whispered, "But we have faith in Jesus, don't we, Dad?" Folks, we're going to go through some turbulence. We're going to go through some rough times that can shake your faith, that can shake your stature. But I'm telling you, you keep your faith. You keep your faith in Jesus Christ. And he's going to see this flight go clear to the other side. Oh, somebody ought to praise God. Is there anybody here that wants to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, stand up this morning. Do you remember how you got on board this ship, this aircraft? And I recognize for sure this building is not going to go. But what a day that will be. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Everybody say caught up together in the clouds to be forever with the Lord. Well, folks, rapture air. Flight J-E-S-U-S, nonstop service to heaven. It's making its pre-boarding call. Jesus is coming. The final preparations are now being made. And it's time for all of us to make sure we're on. It's our job as saints of the living God to help all those we can to secure a place to get a seat. Flight attendants, prepare for departure. Every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning. What do you say, Calvary? Let's do our best for our master's service. Let's identify with Christ, with the uniform that identifies what company we're with, that uniform of holiness, that outward stand. Let us with love and kindness make everyone that wants to be on the passenger list feel as comfortable as we can. One thing about it, the only time I've ever seen the pilot of the plane, even though every once in a while during the flight I hear his voice through the intercom, But it's only when I reach my destination that the captain of the plane usually stands at the door of the cockpit with other attendants and says, "Thank you for flying with us." How do I yearn to see the captain of my soul? And I so desperately want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Come on, brothers. Come on, sisters. The flight's getting ready. Get on board. If you're in need of God's Spirit in your life today, the Holy Ghost, then I want you to come right down over here to my left. Amen. And get what you have need of to make sure your calling and election is sure. If you need assistance in being healed, then come over to my right. Or if you just need to reconfirm your position, you reconfirm your flight, your position in Christ, then come right down here in the center and let the attendants that are here to help you. Because it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Flight attendants, prepare for departure. Come on, my friends, from all over. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.